You know, when I think about the history of Teen Challenge, you know, I reflect on it. It just amazes me that one man, David Wilkerson, you know, he had a call of God on his life and left his little small town in Pennsylvania to go to New York to minister to some gang members. When he did that, he realized that he needed that as he ministered to him and brought him to Jesus Christ, that they would just go right back in their old life, you know. So he understood that they needed a place to go to get away from the world. You know, Paul talks about separating yourself. And that's when he opened up the first Teen Challenge in Brooklyn in 1960, which is still open today. That one Teen Challenge and that one Call of God sparked a wildfire. There are now 250 in the United States. You know, there's 1,100 worldwide, which we reach out to 37,000 individuals on a daily basis.
Amen.
Because of one man's obedience to God, we're standing here today. 37,000 individuals today are getting their needs met. We are very structured. You know, I'm a product of the ministry as well. So, and I ran very wide open and very loosely and had no boundaries, no structure. So our program comes with some structure. They start their days at 6:30 in the morning with the devotions, the New Testament, and they end it at night with the devotions at night in the Old Testament. They have over 40 classes, attitudes, temptations, obedience to God, anger, and personal rights, which I know as a student I came in. My drugs and alcohol were just the surface. I had a bunch of root problems, which I had a bad attitude, which that class helped me, you know. Obedience to God, I couldn't be obedient to man or God. So that helped. They have work duties, cooking, cleaning, laundry. A lot of the guys come in and say they can cook. Making macaroni and cheese is not cooking. to me, anyways. They have visits every other week with their immediate family. Pastor Tony, she has a saying that hurting people hurt people. So we figured that we would limitate it because us hurting and being in our lifestyle, we hurt our family members too, so they need time to heal. They get a 15-minute phone call a week to immediate family also, so that's good. Our funding, because we believe in Jesus Christ, we get no government funding.
Amen.
All our funding comes from churches such as yourself supporting us. We have Walmart storefronts, which we stand out. The students get to learn how to evangelize as well. We take donations for our program, and then we take prayer requests, and we teach them a little bit of evangelism. We do banquets twice a year. We do presentations. That's our fundraiser. We do a car wash during the summer where the students sit out there and they hold a sign in 90-degree weather to 100-degree weather to take donations for our facility. So that's a little bit of our program. One of the other questions I like to ask the student when they come in is, do you sing? 90% of the time, most of them say no. Well, I tell them, you do now. So I'm gonna welcome them up. They're going to sing some songs for you. They're going to tell what Jesus Christ is doing in their life and how they changed them and brought them here. So let me invite the choir up. Come on up. Who's singing first? Or who's going first?
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hi, my name's Joe, and I'm going to share my testimony. Not too long ago, Good Friday, Easter, I was sitting on my couch, and I had a bottle of moonshine, a handful of Vicodin, and $1,000 worth of crack cocaine, and I was planning on taking my life. I got to a point of depression because I was a Christian, and I wasn't walking my Christian life the way I should. I felt that I've backslid. I was using drugs. I was hiding it from my wife. I was going to church saying everything was fine, and I basically served in a church that had 2,000 people, and I hid myself very well, and it brought me here to Teen Challenge. Good Friday, like I said, I tried to kill myself. I felt useless. I felt worthless. I felt I left my family down. I left my wife down. She actually left me. And I was miserable. But thank God, you know, I came back here to Teen Challenge. I was in this program in 2004, you know, and God really radically changed my life, and I got married to my wife then after I completed this program. And, you know, I'm lost for words right now. God's good. They're coming here to Teen Challenge. I was really depressed. I didn't want to come here. I just, like Pastor said, I felt like giving up, you know, just to be lost, you know. And today, through Teen Challenge program, I mean, I wake up every day and I just lay everything down to the Lord, you know. I just surrender myself every day. And I'm grateful that there's a program like Teen Challenge that where you could come and do that. Just surrender, you know, and let God put you back together. You know, I'm not a failure today. You know, I'm a child of God. Yeah, my marriage is in shambles right now, but God, you know, I always pray and ask God, God, what do you want me to do, you know? And he tells me, just wait. Just wait on me. Trust me. You know, trust me. Yeah, you messed up your life again, but trust me. You know, I could do it again. And the scripture verse I stand on today and is dear to my heart and what I really rely on is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name's Katie. I just want to say it's all because of Jesus that we're standing here today. Amen?
Amen.
This next song that we're going to sing for you guys tells the story of how his love helped change our lives. And it's called My Story. If I told you my story, and if I told you my story,
you would hear your love and never gave up.
And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of if I told you my story,
over the enemy.
And if I told you my story, You would hear freedom was won for me. And if I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. For the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of Him. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Good morning. My name is Cindy. And I grew up in a very Christian home and with great parents, going to church and Sunday school every Sunday. And after I got married, my husband and I had moved to Florida, and I became a store manager in a retail store, and I was working really hard and really would see my boss come in every day, and I wanted her job. I wanted to be the district manager. Well, be careful what you wish for. After 12 years of being a manager, I became the district manager. But my district was Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, so I would leave Fort Lauderdale on Tuesdays, and then I wouldn't get home until Friday or Saturday because I would be traveling, leaving my husband and three young children at home. What I found was that I was working every day and going back to an empty, cold hotel room by myself. My best friend became the bottle. I became an alcoholic at the age of 34, and for 17 years, I fought that battle. After 29 years of marriage, my husband said it was enough. He thought he was the reason I drank, and he, you know, divorced me. Shortly after that, I lost both of my parents within 2 weeks of each other, and then my ex-husband, who was my best friend, was dying of cancer. I fell into a hole so deep I couldn't get out. I couldn't even put the bottle down to help my children. And at this point, I needed to do something. So I went into a secular rehab, and I got sober for about 3.5 years. And then in August of 2016, I fell, and I fell hard. I physically fell down 16 stairs and hurt myself really bad. And I was in the hospital, and my daughter's like, "Mom, you have to do something." And I'm like, "I don't know what to do." And she goes, "What about this teen challenge place?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't need, you know," at that time it was 14 months. I said, "I don't need 14 months. I just had 3 years clean." And I went home from my apartment, thought I'd go back to meetings and keep doing what I normally did, until I started singing "My God is an Awesome God" at the top of my lungs. and I realized God was knocking on my door. So that summer of 2016, I knocked on the door of Teen Challenge, and my life has never been the same. Amen. Today, I read the Bible, and I pray like I've never done before. I understand God's word. Today, I have a relationship with Him that I have never had. You know, secular rehab taught me how to put down the drink, but they didn't tell me how to clean my heart and get rid of the guilt and shame. Amen. Only God can do that. Amen. I graduated the program in October last year, and I stayed on to be an emerging leader. And then in April, when I was done, I got a job, and I started to work for Morley's in Saginaw. And after 4 days of training, they pulled me out and said, you know, you have a couple warrants for your arrest. We're not going to fire you, but you need to see what's going on. So that was on a Friday. On Monday, I took a bus to Flint to figure out what was going on. I turned myself in. And 3 weeks later, not 3 months, 3 years, 3 weeks later, I walked out of that courtroom with those cases dismissed. And it was only because God was by my side. God can do amazing things. So now I go to work every day, and then I come back to the center and to help at night, and my life is just fulfilled. The verse that I hold close to me is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a hope and for a future. Today I have hope. I have a future. I have a relationship with my children and my grandchildren today that would have never happened if God hadn't intervened. Thank you.
Hello. So a little bit about a quick thing about my past. I was a very, very prideful man. I didn't want to hear nothing from nobody. I didn't want to even hear a suggestion, an opinion, or nothing. That was me. And what it intended it to be, I was so prideful that I knew the only way to get out of my ways was to be broken. And I was scared to do that. But I know that through experience, the only thing that got me to break is something bad happening in my life to make me cry. And then what happened is that it brought depression, like the other man had said. It brought severe depression on my life. So one day I was hearing this music, and the song came on, and I just started breaking out in tears. And it transformed me on the inside, and I didn't really, and you know, I had known the Lord. I had backslid, like many of us. And it's just, hope rose, you know, that brokenness, that place of brokenness rose up inside of me to bring hope instead of depression. And then I started seeking the Lord, you know, and what that song is what I'm about to sing, but what we're about to sing. But the scripture says God inhabits the praises of his people. He loves our praise. He gave it to us. So if we can get cooperation today, let's praise the Lord together. Our God is a chain breaker. Amen. Thank you. If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice and the same old lies, if you've been trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. And if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Search for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out by the same old fights. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. And if you feel lost, he's a way maker. And if you get freedom, a savior, he's a prison-shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, And if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. And if you believe it, and if you receive it, and if you can't feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, and if you receive it, and if you can't feel it, somebody testify. You got pain, he's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. And if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. And if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Hi, my name is Kimberly. I was very blessed to grow up in a very loving Christian home with loving, God-fearing parents. I actually accepted Christ at the age of 11. I was a Christian, but I struggled with my faith a lot over the years. I didn't have a relationship with God. I was struggling with trying to live for the world and wanting to live for God. When the struggle manifested when I was 15, and my family and I moved to Michigan, and about a year after we moved, I began to struggle with anxiety for the remainder of my high school years. After I graduated high school and went to college, the anxiety grew worse, and I began to struggle with intrusive, disturbing racing thoughts. But it wasn't until after my freshman year of college that my struggle really manifested. I began self-harming in the summer of 2010, and that set off a seven-year battle with self-harm, and I received my first diagnosis for a mental illness. And I had to take a year off from school, and when I went back to school, it was, I wish I could say that things got better at that point, but they didn't. They grew worse, and I began to be suspended from campus for disturbance to the community because my self-harm was very violent and conspicuous. And this was after the university did everything they could to help me, from accommodations to tutoring to counseling, just using all their resources, and I stubbornly refused the help. And at the end of the semester, the university asked me to leave. I was basically expelled. And over that period of 7 years that I struggled with self-harm, it was on again, off again. I've never done drugs or alcohol, but self-harm was my drug. It gave me a twisted sense of relief, and I was trying to fix something that only the blood of Jesus can fix. And I had no purpose. I felt worthless. I felt ugly. I felt undeserving. And in early 2018, when the self-harm was growing increasingly more violent, my family had had enough. They said something has to be different. So it was actually my dad that first recommended that I go to a Christian rehab center. And through a series of events, I ended up here at Teen Challenge. And it's one of the best decisions I've ever made. I have purpose in my life. I feel free of my mental strongholds. I'm no longer self-harming. Jesus Christ has used the beautiful people here, the beautiful leaders, and my beautiful sisters as a vessel to show his unconditional love for me, and that I am worthy and that I am valuable in his eyes, and I'm able to enjoy where I'm at on the way to where I'm going. Yes. A verse that I hold close is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. And my plans for when I graduate Teen Challenge are either to stay on to be an emerging leader or finish my college education. Thank you. I'm going to sing a song about worship because it's one of the most powerful. The choir and I are going to sing a song about worship. It's one of the most powerful weapons that the Lord gave us against the enemy of our soul. When people are taken away from us in material or even material possessions, the most valuable and precious thing we have is our worship. So when you're going through a trying time, open your mouth and sing his praises. Yes, and the choir and I are going to sing I Have a Song.
Is up against me, and it seems I've lost it all, and my back's against the wall. When my heart's grown dry and empty, when the life that I had planned is slipping through my hands, I hear sweet music rise above it all. When it seemed my hope had ended, I was wrong. I have a song, and I'm singing to my Savior. I'm singing to the one who set me free. I have a song, and my heart will ever praise him. This world can never take this joy from me. When all else is gone, oh, oh, I have a song. When I cannot see tomorrow, when the questions flood my mind, looking back on wasted time, when my soul is full of sorrow, when the pain won't go away and such brokenness remains, I join the music rising far above it all. It's an anthem to my true and faithful God. I have a song, and I'm singing to my Savior. I'm singing to the one who set me free. I have a song, and my heart will ever praise him. This world can never take this joy from me. When all else is gone, oh, I have a song, and I sing because I'm happy. Oh yes, I sing because I'm free for him. to the one who set me free. I have a son, and my heart will ever praise him. This world can never take this joy from me. Oh, I have a son, oh yes I do. And I'm singing to my Savior. I'm singing to the one who set me free. Oh, I have a song, and my heart will ever praise him. This world can never take this joy from me. When all else is gone, oh, I have a song. When all else is gone, I have a song. I have a song.
Hi, my name's Eric. I grew up in a house where drug dealing, alcohol use, violence, drug dealing, it was just part of what I seen every day. It's what I seen, it's what I grew up to do myself. By the age of 18, you know, through a series of compromises in high school with marijuana, Ritalin, things like that, I was fully addicted to cocaine, dropped out of high school, and I lived for drugs. Or, you know, there wasn't a moment I wasn't chasing drugs or sleeping off a binge or, you know, chasing my next binge. And it went on like this well into my 20s, you know, and I knew I had a problem, and I tried to get help. I went through counseling. I went through mental health counseling. I was diagnosed this, that, and the other. And I just kind of believed that to be true and went on just kind of living the life, you know, of small bouts of you know, not using drugs, but then I would start using behind the scenes. You know, my family, I put up a front like I was doing fine. And to my family, they thought, you know, I was on the right path, but I'd be smoking marijuana behind the scenes. And then I, you know, I would start taking pills and stuff like that to try to, you know, try to hide the heavy drug use. And then before long, the heavy drugs took back over. And it went on like this, you know, for quite a while. I had a daughter. She left me because I couldn't get my act together. A lot of relationships were burned because of it. A lot of relationships with my family were burned because of it. Secular rehab, you know, nothing could break the grips that drugs had on me, basically. The only stability that I had growing up was my grandfather. You know, coming from the, you know, house where my parents were addicts and alcoholics, a lot of instability. And he was the rock growing up. And back in October of last year, he passed away. And I didn't want to hide my drug use no more. I hit it hard and didn't care that my family seen. At this point, I was using amphetamine pills, Xanax to come down. Couldn't get them. I would go and use meth, cocaine, crack cocaine, just anything really. I was hurt and didn't know how to deal with that hurt. So I just used drugs to ice over it. And I found myself back in January at a friend's house making meth. The doors were kicked in. He was raided. Having prior drug felonies and other felonies, I was facing 45 years in prison. Scared, couldn't face my family now. I went and stayed at a homeless shelter where they preached the gospel, and it was just a place for me to go and hide, basically. I wasn't trying to hear about Jesus, never had a relationship with Jesus in my life, never sought to have a relationship with Jesus. I went there, and I heard all about Jesus, man, my back's up against the wall at this point. You know, I'm lost. I'm not going to face 45 years in prison. I couldn't figure a way out of it. So I tried praying. You know, I prayed for about a week and didn't think God answered prayers. I didn't really believe in God at this point. And I decided, you know, my only way out was to take my own life. So I put together a plan. Over a few days, I accumulated, you know, substantial amount of drugs, and I was going to overdose. So it looked like an accident, but, you know, it was So I wanted to tell my daughter goodbye. I have a 15-year-old daughter. I wanted to tell her goodbye, though. So I went. I didn't want her to know it was goodbye. I went to call her, and she wouldn't answer her phone. And I look back now, man, God was answering my prayers through that. You know, it's not like her to not answer 30 phone calls through the course of a day. He had people in place there that the guy that was taking over the shelter just came and stayed at this teen challenge because it's so successful. He wants to base his program on this program. And I went and talked to him the next morning, and I told him everything that was going on. And he suggested Teen Challenge, and I quickly accepted, knowing I was done, I needed a change. I quickly accepted coming here, and I thank God. But when I got here, these guys lifting their hands and stuff, I thought they were crazy. It wasn't for me. I wanted to leave, and I just thought about it. I seen some of the guys like Jason and Andreas and Ryan and Jake, you know. I see the freedom that they operate in, and I've never experienced that, and I just wanted it, and I decided I would do whatever I had to do to try to get that. And God's worked miracles in my life. My 45-year prison sentence is down to possibly just a 3-month boot camp sentence. He's restored my appearance. He's restored. Most importantly, I have a relationship with Him, but I have a relationship with my family also. You know, my daughter, when I came here, she didn't want to talk to me no more. She had seen too many ups and downs, and she didn't want to talk to me. It took her a while, but I went home on pass a few months ago, about three and a half months ago, and she sees me reading my Bible after dinner now, and she's scratching her head like, what's going on, Dad? And, you know, I didn't want to preach to her. I didn't want to put her off like other people had put me off to accepting Jesus, and she asked questions, and I answered them, and I think she's on her way to accepting Jesus also, and that makes me happier than anything. The verse I'd like to share with you folks is Acts 3:16. It's through faith in Jesus' name that this man has been healed. And you know how sick he was before. It's through faith in the name of Jesus Christ that this man has been healed. Thank you, guys.
Good morning. I'm Katrina, and I get the honor to live with the ladies. Yes, it is an honor in my eyes. So when they come in, I get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. Amen. But I also get to see the victories. Amen. So when they come in, I ask them, what do you think of yourself? What have you been labeled by the world, by your family, by your friends? And they tell us. They're really quick to tell us. But after the teachings, after the Bible studies, the devotions, we tell them who they are through Jesus Christ, through what they learn. So it might take a week, it might take a month, it might even take 6 months, but they learn who they are through Jesus Christ. So this is my favorite part of the presentation because I could hold every one of those signs. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I do.
Shattered, you see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful, and you're helping me to believe you're restored. By peace, there's nothing too dirty that you can make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you. Again. my heart's beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive with joy and destiny, 'cause you're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy.
There's nothing on earth that heaven can't heal. Amen. This is my family. That God has healed and set free. Amen. 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 Almost 24 years ago, I met a couple, Pastor Walden and Kathy, in a restaurant. And I was broken and alcoholic. I ended up going to jail. I was introduced to Teen Challenge at that time. I came into the program, and Jesus Christ set me free. After I was in the program, I'm from Midland, 4 months, well, three and a half months later, my home in Midland was broken into. And the people that were there were murdered. And I know that Jesus Christ not only gave me a new life, but he literally saved my life. And at that time, I knew that Teen Challenge was the vehicle that he had used to do that. So I was convicted to serve the ministry for as long as I was needed. And here I am. And I want to thank Pastor Walden and Sister Kathy for sowing into my life so that Jesus Christ could change people's lives. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
We remember those times, and we remember all those murdered, and yet out of death came life in a bubble. And I remember a little over a year ago when Pastor Sal, not knowing he was going to graduate soon, was yielding his office, and we're over in our table, and we were rooting, oh, I hope we pray it's Pastor Tony is the replacement. And we were like cheering when they gave it to you, because not only do we know you as a sister in the Lord, but we know you as a lover of God and a lover of people. And I know you ladies and guys know that. So we are blessed and honored to have you be part of our eternal life with all of you. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. And I want to take it this time just a moment, because I know there are many watching us this morning on Facebook, and all you that have heard the testimony. Some of you may even know that you were raised in a Christian setting, but like so many of the testimonies, you walked away or you did not get grounded and founded. And as you hear the testimonies today, it's not by accident that you're listening or you've come. And it's as easy as saying, Jesus, I'm tired of trying to do this on my own, and I need you in my life. And invite him and say, Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Direct my life and show me what I can do to have an abundant life and a breakthrough, as we're hearing about the students this day. God bless you. We as a ministry, Pastor Mike, why don't you come up and join us? You're part of overseeing this ministry and all this. And we've supported this ministry for years. But we want to, on behalf of all the families of Shield of Faith who continuously support this ministry, we would like to bless the Teen Challenge with $500 towards your needs at the center. We'd like to tell you that we are looking forward to great things. We're looking forward to all of you graduating. And maybe, yeah, we're kind of partial a little bit about staying around. So we know so many of the students, like from Midland, Pastor Tony, but this is a glorious place. Saginaw is on the verge of some major breakthroughs. We're seeing the church of the believers coming together, breaking down the dividing walls. It's not about denomination. It's not about this church or that church. It's about making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And then seeing your brothers and sisters, wherever they go to church or don't go to church, if Jesus is their Lord, they're our brothers and sisters. Amen? So let's just, with me, agree. We're going to lay hands on Tony, but we're also going to pray for Teen Challenge Ministry before we close. Father God, we are so grateful for all the seeds of greatness that have come through this ministry, through Saginaw and the other ministries around the country. And Father, we thank you that you know the very needs of Teen Challenge, the day in and day out. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to not only meet every need, but Lord, that you will release abundance, Lord, of not only food and necessities, but Lord, that in each and every one of these students that have hooked up, Father, that you're going to surprise them with many times of refreshing from your presence, and you're going to release upon them, as you do upon their leadership, the wisdom and the insights. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of us in agreement said, amen, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I was sitting up here, and I actually saw what you guys were doing at the banquet. And I was emotional the whole time. But what I want you guys to understand, and I speak to you, any one of us could be right at that point of being right where you guys once were. And the emotion that I have isn't because I felt sorry for any one of you. The emotion that I have is because all I saw was excellence. And all I saw was success. And I saw victory, and I saw a whole sea of overcomers, and that is what just makes me so emotional. Some of you may have a long road ahead of you. Some of you have passed beyond that, but I tell you what, it's a wild ride, and it's worth every minute of it. Don't give up. Don't give in. Push onward. Push forward, and continue to go, okay? All right? And just, man, God bless you guys. God bless you. And I thank you for the heartfelt sharing that you gave, because it brings confidence and it brings reassurance. And it helps individuals that may be listening in here or listening on Facebook. And just thank you. Thank you for your transparency and your openness. Your openness, okay? I'm done. We're going to bless the food.
Yes.
Amen. While we're all together. So, Father, we just thank you for this beautiful time of fellowship that we've had, this time of love, this time of your presence, Lord. Father, thank you. I ask, Lord, in Jesus Christ's glorious name, that you bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies. And I thank you, Father, for friendships that will be made in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Hey, and there's wreaths out there, Shield of Faith body. If you see something out there,